Well, in 2013, the first time we went through this, it was all brand new to the department. We'd never experienced the potential of a shutdown. And so we had to go out and really craft a playbook for the first time that could be utilized. And we did use it during the 13 shutdown. What I anticipate happened this time is that they've taken the same plan and dusted that off because, of, you know, it's applying only to DHS, but it's the same set of principles. And so it's a lot of angst and concern and worry among the employees as to what's going to happen. And it's also a challenge for managers throughout the department who are trying to keep, the mission-centric view moving effectively while in the midst of that being distracted with, the potential for furlough notices having to go out, as well as, many employees having to come to work without pay.
So right now, do you imagine that work inside DHS offices is already different, is already in preparation of the shutdown, even though it might not occur?
Very much so. I think it's a distraction to those who have to execute, certainly, but it's also a distraction for employees who are uncertain about what Congress is going to do in just a few short days.
And what do managers themselves have to do? I mean, I know frontline employees, for the most part, are going to remain working, but in some cases, is it like managers who have to make sure that those employees remain working, but they themselves can't work?
Yeah, I mean, as an example, at the headquarters where, at the DHS headquarters just up the street from you guys, it's going to mean that most of the, personnel there is furloughed. And so what happens is those people can't check their, email, they can't work at all. And so what happens when, there's no ledge of fare shop, there's, a limited management infrastructure, that things just don't, people can't answer, inquiries. And then the folks that are still on the job, are expected to do so and keep track of what they're doing with, the promise of getting paid perhaps in the future. But it really is disruptive to the daily work of the department.
Does it make DHS less receptive if there is something sudden, unforeseen that happens during, say, the next week?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's any question that the support systems that the secretary and the deputy rely on, as well as the component heads, will be impaired by even a partial shutdown.
So I know that cyber is considered one of those critical non-furloughable, missions of DHS.
Yeah.
But what does it mean for technology overall, like for the support of the cyber functions and the like?
Well, I think that, certainly things like the NCIC, the watch floor capabilities, the information sharing mechanisms are still in effect. But what happens is a lot of the key folks that do procurement activities, a lot of the back office work of the department and key directorates like MVPD will feel the pain in the shutdown. And so, programs like CDM and Einstein that are looking to roll out different capabilities, you have to worry about those timelines in terms of effectively meeting the milestones that they've set forth.
Right. So they might have to push those back. And what about the contractors in terms of technology contractors?
Well, I think that it becomes uncertain for them as well because work stops in many programs throughout the department as a result of this because the dependencies aren't there to continue the work. Even though, frontline folks may still be on the job, a lot of these acquisition or technology projects that are, multi-month kinds of initiatives will grind to a halt, which will make these contracting teams that support those programs obsolete for that span of time. And so you have a cascading effect that really does make it difficult to do business.
Yeah. And I know you're not in DHS now, but what is different, if anything, what is different now compared with October 2013?
Well, I think it's the targeted way in which this is rolled out. Before we were part of, the entire federal government, you kind of felt like you had allies in the trouble that was coming. This time, with the
misery loves company, is that it?
Yeah, at least you knew you had the, there was a lot of folks in the same hopper, and so you felt like it was part of your effort. This time, when it's targeted just to DHS, I think it just further feeds, some of the difficulties the department is having around morale and employee engagement, that, they're being targeted specifically, even though a lot of these mission sets don't have anything to do with immigration.
And let me just ask you this question. I mean, I've heard that some people say, since 85% of DHS employees are going to remain on the job, the American public won't really notice an impact if DHS has to go through this partial shutdown. From your standpoint, was that true in 2013? Do you think that would be true now?
Well, you don't notice them on day one, but the longer the thing goes on, the more disruptive and troublesome it is for the department, because you have a lot of these support functions that, you know, are aiding, you know, the leadership of the department. They're keeping these procurements on track, which are usually upgrades or improvements to systems. And so when those things come to a halt, you don't see it on day one, but it, you know, it certainly has an impact over time. I think it's detrimental not only to the public, but to the, as the taxpayers, because, you know, it elongates programs. It's an inefficient use of dollars. It creates uncertainty in the workforce in ways that really is a problem for large organizations like DHS.
And in 2013, when things started up again, did you find that you were paying extra costs, or there was sort of, well, I mean, I know it was only a few weeks, but, you know, the classic example is construction. If you wait a year, it's going to be much more expensive than if you had just done it the year earlier. Did you find things like that, even though it had only been a couple weeks?
Yeah, what happens in it's like turning a super tanker. You know, DHS is a monstrously large department spread out in a lot of different places. And so when you grind pieces of it to a halt, you know, trying to start that back up again doesn't start on a dime. And so you really do see lag as, you know, these systems start to churn up again. And, you know, anytime you stop something like that and you send people home, it's going to be inefficient and it's going to cost you more money over time.
What do you remember from the 2013 experience was sort of the best example of that?
Well, I think it was on some of the acquisition programs that we were running. Certainly, you know, programs that are on tight schedules already, like CDM, like text modernization over at ICE. You know, these are programs that, you know, are on specific timetables, as most of them are, but, you know, some are tighter than others. And when you pull a month out and you spend months on either side of it, either getting ready for a shutdown or then, you know, coming out of one, it's not a seamless movement to get things running again. And so you're losing time, which means you're losing money.
Yeah. And because these programs aren't considered those essential things to the present, right? Those are things
exactly.
That,
they're okay. Not going to continue like a Secret Service, you know, protective detail or, you know, Coast Guard, you know, folks on call. These are things that are, you know, important for the work of the department, but they don't rate as essential services that have to continue during the shutdown.
From your standpoint, what do you think the impact of all of this drama is on the department, regardless of what happens Friday?
Well, I think overall it's it reinforces some negative views of how the department is managing itself. When you really can't, you know, there's this notion that the department has challenges managing, you know, all the components and things of that nature and getting the job done. I think that it's less to do with that. I think there are a lot of talented folks over there, and more to do with the uncertainty of what should be a pretty predictable exercise, which is, you know, a department's full year funding, you know, when we're almost halfway through the fiscal year. And so when you have that happen, what occurs is that, you know, folks have to go through what are equate to many fiscal years every time you have a continuing resolution, and they get an apportionment, and then it's, you know, all the management that has to happen and energy in order to hit those marks for very short periods of time makes it so you really can't plan effectively or roll out new programs that may be needed.